Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
It's a serious accusation. The Irish Council for Civil Liberties is accusing the government of violating people's basic human rights by failing to overhaul the coroner service. Families are reporting lengthening delays in the scheduling of inquests for unnatural deaths. Reform of the coroner court system was first mooted over 20 years ago. Our reporter Barry Lennon has been looking into this and joins me now. What's happening here, Barry?
Yeah, coroner's inquests are arranged in the case of sudden, unnatural, violent or unexplained deaths. But families, they're reporting more and more problems, including lengthening delays to ultimately establish how their loved one died. And last month, an inquest was heard in Dublin into the death of Monica Hyland, the 91-year-old, as she became an online celebrity during the pandemic after her observations during lockdown were made into a best-selling book by her niece and main carer, Helen O'Rahilly. Now, Monica Hyland died at Beaumont Hospital in March 2021, less than 48 hours after being admitted with bad nausea and vomiting, and so an inquest had to be arranged. Her family claimed she suffered a suboptimal death, and Monica's niece, Helen, she's been telling me of the long battle to even reach the coroner's court.
It took 26 months, so 2 years and 2 months, to finally get an inquest date. So we've just had it at the end of May. So that was a very, very long and frustrating, it has to be said, wait to find out the sequence of events that caused Aunt Monica's death.
How much trouble did you have to go to get that date?
I didn't realise how proactive I would have to be. I'm a journalist and television person by background, so I'm used to cajoling and sending emails and following things up. And I don't know how anybody without sort of investigative background could cope, really, because I would be the one emailing both the coroner's office and the hospital when really I shouldn't have had to do that. There was no match-up between the coroner and the hospital. The wait was for reports to come from the various people in the hospital. You know, you want to know the sequence of how your loved one died. The post-mortem will give you the bare facts and the very detailed medical facts. But if you're not a medical person, you're not able to interpret them. So you have to wait for the inquest. So the waiting really plays on your mind. So I was chivying them along. I think I must have sent up to 60 emails, but you know, you put the phone down and you'd nearly cry with frustration because there seemed to be no joined up thinking as to how to get these inquests done as soon as possible.
60 different emails. Not everyone would have the perseverance or indeed the same background as yourself.
I never even envisaged that it would take 26 months to understand how my aunt died. Obviously, she was elderly and so forth, and you grieve. But what caused her very, very sudden death in a hospital situation that we didn't know about? And that has been playing on my mind and my brother's mind for these long, long months. We got a result of what's called a narrative result. It wasn't misadventure or anything like that. We didn't suspect it was. And it's not about, you know, trying to blame people. We just wanted to understand the sequence that brought about the end of our lovely aunt. At the same time, you're thinking it took so, so long to get here. And actually that afternoon when I came home and I sat down with a cup of tea and I actually cried. I didn't realise the strain and the stress of finally getting an answer, how long that had been on my shoulders. So it was relief.
And your brother at the inquest, he said these intolerable delays should not be the mark of a civilised country.
I mean, you're thrown into it at the death of somebody. Obviously, you're grieving. The last thing you want to think about is it's going to take me 2 years to find out how and why they died. Just more emphasis needs to be put on cutting that timeline down.
And Helen O'Rahilly went on to tell me how dedicated family liaison officers should be appointed to help those grieving navigate the coroner's courts, a call backed by those looking to reform the system.
Who else did you speak to then, Barry?
Coroners themselves point to a postcode lottery when it comes to the arrangement of inquests, with some parts of the country starved of staff and resources. The Dublin service, for instance, has 24 staff and is funded by the Department of Justice. The Cork City coroner has had just 2 staff and, like other parts of the country, is funded by the local council. And this caused much upset for Evan Gurns. His older brother, Andrew, died by suicide in Cork prison in October 2020. and his family had many questions. Earlier this year, over 2 years later, an inquest was finally heard into Andrew's death and a number of key recommendations made, but it only came after a long fight by Evan.
Emails back and forth, and I just had to end up going in and I doorstep the coroner. I wouldn't leave till I got an answer to when of an exact date of when that was going to happen, and they gave me some indication, so I left, and then we were waiting 2 years. But look, it's not his fault. At the end of the day, he doesn't have the resources to deal with all the deaths, I suppose, in Cork. But I just wanted to get it over and done with as soon as possible, because they're bringing everything back up. You just want to move on with your life.
What's the impact of the delay when you're facing that inquest?
Everything's brought back up. You're thinking about it, what's going to happen. You just wanted to get it over and done with as soon as possible. But it's outdated, I believe. We family believe the coroner system is outdated. It needs to be upgraded now, not after any more reviews or anything. There's reviews there since 2000.
So you had to go as far as going into the office yourself and not leaving the coroner's office until you got some indication that there would be an inquest into Andrew's death?
Yes, I didn't want to leave it, no. And if that, what families have to do, it's a disgrace, and we're being let down. People that have been died, and you have to go through this system, and for you to walk into a coroner's office just to get a response, it's a disgrace.
Pressure that the office was under as well. They'd often send you correspondence, and perhaps there'd be mistakes in those letters as well, weren't there?
First of all, it was me that was dead, and the coroner's letter is saying that we're very sorry about your son, Evan, which was me. Then it came back and it was addressed to my brother's partner that she was dead, and it was ridiculous. It was absolutely a joke. I was fuming.
When you finally got there, what was it like to finally get that closure, if you will?
Oh, it was just like a cloud lifted off your mind to get on with, move on with your life, but not forgetting. But it was just hanging over us for ages, and I shouldn't have to wait for 2 years. This should be done within 6 months to 12 months.
Yeah, not an easy situation. Barry, you mentioned that the Cork City Coroner made recommendations at the inquest into Andrew Gearns. What happened to those?
So in Ireland, recommendations at inquests have so-called moral authority, but there's no penalty if somebody doesn't respond to them. And concerns have been expressed at how key recommendations at inquests aren't always implemented. In Andrew's case, the coroner called for an urgent independent review of all medical care at Cork Prison. And Evan says he has questions of whether all recommendations have been followed through since Andrew's death, after it recently emerged in an inspector of prisoners report how another prisoner died by suicide in Cork in January 2022.
Oh, jeez, I was devastated. It just brought it all back up. There was a tear to my eye over it. They haven't learned anything. Absolutely nothing. And I believe the government have let that young man down because they didn't listen. I believe that the coroner shouldn't be recommendations anymore. They should be enforced. The coroner should have the powers to enforce these recommendations. Obviously, it's not doing any justice. Another young man has lost his life. The recommendations aren't being listened to. They're obviously not. But I know in Cork anyway, definitely it's not fit for purpose.
How important for you would it be to see reform of the system?
Very important, and that is say that I can do something for another family. But a reform of the system needs to happen now, in 23, not in 24. It needs to happen now. People and families are suffering. You're just thinking of it all the time, you know.
How is your family doing now?
We're getting there, you know. It's still a bit raw, but we're getting there, and we're delighted that, look, that's in the past now, and we can move on. We can just fight for Andrew. He was a talented soccer player, a loving father to his two kids. He'll be missed badly.
Now, the prison service says this evening in a statement that 3 of 4 recommendations made in a report into Andrew's death have been implemented, and work is ongoing on the 4th.
Reform of the coroner's service was first mooted 20 years ago, as we said a little bit earlier on in this report, Barry. What's the picture now, though?
And the Oireachtas Justice Committee had published an extensive report earlier this year with a number of key recommendations on overhauling the system. Recommendations backed largely by the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. Its policy manager is Dúran Ansbrough. Here's what she told me.
We had a report in the year 2000 saying the system needed to be put on a professional basis. There needed to be better resourcing, better staffing, better training. And those recommendations were essentially shelved at that time. We're still not seeing a commitment from government to reform this system. And what we have found in our research is that families are finding the system to be cold, potentially adversarial, and sometimes in the worst cases, somewhat re-traumatizing. Many other people have also recognised that the system is in need of reform as well, including coroners themselves who have been crying out for more funding and for more staffing.
What is the solution here?
What we're seeing at the moment is an ad hoc system. We have the Dublin coroner funded by the Department of Justice, but other coroners throughout the country are reliant on their own local authority to decide what kind of funding is available for them. So what we would like to see is a professionalised service that's delivered equally across the country, funded by the Department of Justice, put on a professional footing where we have full-time coroners who are given proper training and proper resources. We want to see a chief coroner put in place. We want to see structural reforms where we have recommendations from coroners having to be responded to by the relevant bodies.
The Irish Council for Civil Liberties believes that a failure to implement reform at the moment in the system is causing ongoing human rights violations. That's a very serious charge to make, is it not?
Absolutely. But when you think about the coroner service, it's a fundamental public service for anyone who needs to find out about how and why their loved one died. And we have rights in this area. We have the right to truth. We have the right to justice where things go wrong. And we also have the right to be treated with dignity. When we don't have a system that actually puts in place recommendations from coroners, we're also impacting on the right to life of people in Ireland, because we are not doing everything we can to prevent future deaths of people who might die in a similar way.
And that's Darren Lansborough, who's policy manager of the ICCL. What's the Department of Justice saying this evening, Barry?
It says it acknowledges these delays can prolong grief and suffering, but it also says there's an ongoing review of the coronial system, and this review will deliver what it calls a comprehensive service improvement plan to address identified issues in the system.
OK, Barry Lenehan, thank you very much indeed for that report.